You guys are awesome. I love how sometimes as a church, we know how to celebrate. Amen, church? Don't we love the Lord? Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. But then we know also those times, man, it just senses where that moment needs to be quiet and still. You guys can have a seat as you already are. Y'all know it's time, right? Excuse me. Wow. What an appropriate, I didn't realize, and I don't know how far ahead. Sometimes these songs are picked weeks and months ahead. I don't know. But it's just such an appropriate song. That song we just sang is just such an appropriate for what the message is going to be about today. I just want to, just before I get into the message, can we welcome all the new people? We have new people from this side to this side. Thank you. We are so glad you're here. We mean that. We honestly mean that. We hope you sense and know that. we hope that you really don't sense us at all, that you sense the presence of the Lord here. That's really what we're after, and it's why we create or try to create. God created us to be creative. I believe that. So we try to create those times where Holy Spirit can come and run free in our hearts and really, really motivate and move in our lives in the moment, in the time. And it's just so much fun to worship with you guys. I want to welcome our online church. Can we say hello to them? Hey, guys. Good morning to you. A lot of online church today. A lot more empty seats in the room today than normal. But a lot of, I'm so grateful we have that. And it's just such a blessing to be able to do. But, man, we say it every time I say that. I say there's nothing like being in the house, man. It's just amazing. And especially today, I guess you guys have noticed that we have all kinds of critters running around. Yeah, there's an elf right there, I think. You guys online, you're missing out, I think. But come up here, X. Come here a minute, X. Come here. Real quick, come here. People online need to see this to believe it. Yeah. Can you get up there? I mean, he's equipped with the orange shoes and the whole deal. Now, where'd you get those shoes?
My dad.
That's what I thought. It's his dad. I had to say that. Love this guy, man. We're having fun. Today is pajama day for our kids' ministry. And some of our adults just couldn't help themselves. And so anyway, love you, boy. Y'all give it up for X. Xavier the elf-minded, I guess. He's actually Xavier the full of the Holy Spirit-minded. He's just having fun today, and I'm so grateful for all of that. Landon, you missed it by that much, buddy. I'm not going to mess with you on that. But anyway, he's running to sit down in his seat. Oh, a lot of fun, a lot of fun. How many of you, wasn't as many in the room, I don't think. How many of you were at Freedom this weekend at some point? Come on, guys, yeah. Yeah, it was so good, man. Such a great time to have our Freedom Conference. And it's always such a busy time of year and everything. But, man, it's just so good to settle into that weekend and just watch people just really melt before the Lord and get some stuff out of their lives. If you've not ever been through Freedom, you need to start in February of next year. Is when we start our Freedom groups again. Get in a small group with Freedom and go to the conference. Don't miss the conference. God bless you, sis. I appreciate that so much. I'm going to try not to spill it on me. So, and I drove the sound guys crazy because I dropped that mic on the stand. And anyway, I just messed that all up, but as long as I don't drink the microphone and talk into the water, we'll be good, right? Now, Freedom is awesome. I want to mention to you that next week is our Christmas service. Y'all come back and be a part of it. We say this every year at Christmas and around Easter. People will come to church when you ask more often in this time of year than they will any time. And I promise not to embarrass you next week. You know, I used to say that, you know, we'd invite people to come to church and the preacher would get up and say, all right, all you C&E Christians, you don't come but once a year. What's wrong with you people? You know, yeah, we're not going to do that at all. We love all people, and we want you to come and hear. I'm taking a completely new twist on the Christmas story next week, and it's the same story. I trust you, I'm not changing the facts. I'm just taking a new text that I've never preached from on Christmas. I'll invite you to read Isaiah 53 this week. Just go and read it this week, and you'll think, wait a minute, this is Christmas? What's up, man? And I promise you that it is. Also, January, starting the 5th of January, Lord willing, we are going to begin our 21 days of fasting and prayer. And it didn't get a Yahoo on the fasting. Did y'all see that? Everybody's like, oh, just had a Christmas dinner last night. Don't talk to me about that, you know. We don't get a lot of amens on the fasting. The prayer part we're good with. It's the fasting we have a little trouble with. But listen, we want to invite you into that journey. It's an extra special year for me as far as my own personal journey to walk and to fast and to really focus. And so I want you to participate. And we're going to call on you to come to prayer. If you want to come here every morning at 6 a.m., Lord willing, we're going to do that again. There's only four or five of us that ever come. I just enjoy it so much, and it's a personal thing for me. And so be praying that I physically can be here, and I'll try to be here every day, Monday through Friday, for those 21 days. And then on Wednesday evenings during that time, after the 5th, I think that would be 5th, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 or 9, somewhere in there, we'll start our Wednesday evening prayer services, and you do not want to miss those. Just come and spend an hour in prayer, in worship. It's incredible. Come on, can I get an amen from somebody who's been? Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, it's really amazing, so come and be a part of that. It's kind of a freedom all of its own to come and get into some prayer time. And be prayed over and be prayed for and be prayed with and all those things. If you can't make those services, there's going to be prayer cards for you to write out prayer requests, and we'll put them on the stage. And every day we'll be praying over those, so you be thinking about that. So anyway, want to mention those things by way of announcement, and let's get into the Word. Y'all ready for some Word? Got a lot of Word to share with you today. It's all good Word, not because I say it, but because it is awesome. It's an amazing story. I hesitate to say story. It's a story to us. It was an event in history that happened a long time ago. And we're in a series, for you guys who are brand new, we're in a series called God's Plan of Redemption. And this is message 5. Can you believe it? It's incredible that we're already just a week away from our Christmas service. And wow, it's crazy. The year has gone so quickly. And so we're in this series on redemption. And I've actually been in the Old Testament every week. We've been talking about all these stories, that events in people's lives where God showed redemption to people. Now, we left a lot out. I mean, we could do a year series on redemption and talk about Abraham and Isaac and Joseph and Jacob and on and on and on, a lot of redemption stories. And then move to the New Testament where you had Peter, bless his heart, you know, kind of thing. And all redemption is what the whole book is about. And so the idea came when we started talking about our Christmas service, and I just thought we're going to lead right up to our Christmas service. Jesus came into the world to redeem us, y'all. That's his purpose. That's his reason. He came to seek and save the lost, and we all were lost, right? But we're not anymore, praise God. We are in Christ, and we are growing in that. And if you're not yet, today you'll have an opportunity to do that as well. So most of us who grew up in church grew up on the story of Jonah. We had a song we sang. And we say, who did swallow Jonah? Who did swallow Jonah? Come on, y'all sing it with me. Who did swallow Jonah? Who did swallow Jonah? Now, y'all don't remember that? Come on, where are my CFC people? Where are you guys? Come on, where you grew up in the Church of Christ? That was like the thing. And then we'd sing it really fast. Well, who did swallow Jonah? Y'all remember the rest of it? The whale did swallow Jonah. Come on, y'all. We didn't have guitars and stuff, so we had to do something. So give us a break. And we'd sing. That's how I learned the Bible predominantly, is through singing. Learned the books of the Bible that way. I learned. And by the way, if you ever find a text you want to memorize, if you can put it to a song in your own head, you'll remember it and you'll never forget it. And so we grew up on this story, but unfortunately, like a lot of the stories, we saw them on flannel graphs. Come on, y'all older people, y'all remember the flannel board, and we had these little cutout figures, and then stick the flannel would stick to the flannel, and we'd teach that. That was our PowerPoint, man. It was our big screen. It was the visual we had. And you had this wonderful teacher sitting and telling the little children about the story of Jonah and the whale. And there's so many things that we learned about the story, and you're going to be a little bit surprised, I think, for some of you who grew up on this story, about the redemptive portion of the story and Jonah himself. And we're going to get into it right now. What I did this week, I did last week with the story of Boaz and Ruth. With the book of Ruth, there were four chapters, and I titled each chapter. We're going to do the same thing today. Get your notes out. We're going to fill in some blanks. And we're going to move pretty quickly. Not a promise on that. We're going to try. But I want you to be able to kind of stay up with me on the story, okay? So the chapter 1, I entitled chapter 1, this is the first point in your notes. By the way, if you're online, I apologize. We're having some technical difficulty with our lower third. It's coming up on the screen. It's been coming up predominantly on the screen where you can see the blanks and fill them in. Sorry, those are not there, and we're trying to figure out why they're not there. So once we figure it out, we're going to fix that. But until then, if you'll go to discoveryal.church and just look, you can find our notes right there. You can fill in your notes right there. And by the way, if you're in the house electronically and you want to do that, you can. You can email them to yourself. And so anyway, that's enough commercials, right? First point is this. The first chapter of Jonah is Jonah runs from the Lord. And this is what the book says. Beginning of verse 1, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. That's my shot at that word. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked these people are. And if you know anything about the prophets, that's usually what they did, is they showed up and they told everybody about how God was mad at them and he's going to kill them if they didn't change. Okay? I mean, I'm sorry, but that's as concise as I can do with the Old Testament prophets. And that's why those guys were most of the time put to death in some way, because people don't like you to show up and say, you're going to hell, boy, if you don't change, you know, kind of thing. And that's, some of us grew up on that kind of preaching. And he went in, tell them how wicked, that God's given him instructions to do this. But Jonah got it, went in the opposite direction. In fact, where he went was as far away from Nineveh as you could physically get in that world and time. He said, but Jonah got up, went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Underline that in your Bible or in your notes or whatever. To get away from the Lord, not to get away from Nineveh. You're going to find out later when we get to the surprise part of this why he was trying to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. That's a really hard word to say without spitting all over yourself. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. You see, his whole thing is to get away from God. I want to get away from this God that he knew something was going to happen. And I think he did. And we'll show you that in a little bit. So what was he running from? It wasn't necessarily running. We were taught that he was running from the Assyrians. Those people were evil people. They had a punishment for somebody they didn't like, of skinning someone alive, just like you do a catfish. Just cut it here and just skin the skin off of yourself alive. That's a terrible punishment. That'd be enough for me to go to Tarshish right there. I'm not going to talk to those people, because if they don't like me, they're going to kill me in a bad way. But that's not why Jonah didn't go. You know, how many of you, by the way, this is a great time to stop and just ask the question, how many of us, not you, but us, have actually ran away from the Lord at some point in our life? Well, we've decided, yeah, come on, I didn't really ask for a show of hands, but we could all put our hands up if you've lived very long at all. At some point in your life, God asked you to do something, and you were like, mm-mm, ain't doing that. Not leaving that habit, not leaving that person, not walking away from that. And we ran the opposite way. Adam and Eve, first people who brought this whole sin into the world. They ran, hid the trees. Elijah ran because he was afraid of a woman who said she was going to behead him by the end of the day. Moses tried running because he felt unqualified in his own mind to even speak for God. And God said, running from God is just dumb. It's like hide and seek with God. I've said that before from here. It's not real smart when a God you're trying to run from is everywhere at the same time. You're really running away from yourself. And I think that's what Jonah was doing as well. Anyway, we'll get to the surprise in a minute. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So Jonah's running from the Lord. He gets on the ship. I'm going to be careful. Sailing to Tarshish. There's a seashells by the seashore, right? He jumps on a ship sailing for Tarshish. Anyway, I didn't even expect that to be as funny to me as it was, and it wasn't funny to you at all, but it's hilarious to me. I feel like I'm slobbering all over the front row up here, but anyway. So a storm comes when he gets on the ship, and the people are like, what is going on? And these were superstitious, multi-God-fearing kind of people. They had all these different gods, and they begin to cry out, what has happened? Some god is mad at us, and there's a storm coming, and we're going to die if it don't happen. And so they found out it was Jonah, and Jonah said, yep, it's me. And they said, what do we do about it? He said, throw me out. And they did. They didn't want to. I don't think they wanted to. The Bible says they kind of was like, Lord, please, why? And they finally cast him out, and Jonah finds himself in a predicament. And I love this passage at the end of chapter 1. Now, the Lord had arranged for a great fish. And by the way, the whale did. We don't know if it was a whale. We don't know what kind of fish this was. We assume whale because that's probably as big a fish as could swallow a man and him stay alive in his belly, right? Or you could be like the atheist teacher who said, hey, I don't believe in this God. This God is crazy. Who would believe in a God who would write a book, who would tell about a story who a guy could live in a belly of a fish, a whale, for 3 days? I don't believe it. The student said, Professor, I believe it. I believe with all my heart that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and lived for 3 days in his belly. And the teacher said, I don't believe it. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, teacher, one of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah about it. And the teacher said, boy, thought he had him. He said, well, what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? He said, well, then you can ask him. But anyway, so that's really an old joke. It works every time. Works every time. And you see all these fanciful stories like this, and it's so cool to have such a faith that we believe, and we see these stories. So the scripture says, the Lord arranged for it. The word in the Hebrew here literally means that the Lord spoke to the fish. Okay? So God speaks whale, right? I thought that wouldn't be as funny as the other one either. So anyway, yeah, I mean, he's talking to the fish, and he told the fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2. The title of chapter 2 is this, Jonah's Prayer of God's Faithfulness. So while he's in the belly of the fish, I keep saying whale. If I slip up, it's okay, because we really don't know. But while he's in the belly of this great fish, probably thinking this is, oh, when you read the prayer, I don't have time to read it all. When you read the prayer, it's like Jonah's like, it's over. I'm done. And it's a prayer of both expectancy of death and the possibility of living again. That's another whole sermon I could do right there, but can't do it. Don't have time. This prayer of expectancy of death and the possibility of life again. Here's part of it. He says, I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates locked shut forever. He's like, it's hopeless. It's over. But God, we say this all the time in the Word, he says, but you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. How many times have you been there? You're running, and you're trying to get away from God, and you're trying to do your own thing or whatever, and then you remember the Lord. The prodigal remembered the Lord. There's all kinds of that in the Word where people were with God, and they said, no more of this, and they try to get away from God. And then some of you have been running, and you ran smack dab into freedom, and last night you got set free, or yesterday you got set free from something, or Friday night you got set free from something because you remembered the Lord. It says, I remembered you, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to your holy temple. Those who worship false gods, which were the people who cast him in the water and pretty much everybody else around him, turned their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. So you see, Jonah is in the belly of the great fish praying this. So there's an expectancy of, I'm going down. It's over. I'm going down. And yet I cried out to the Lord, I'm not going down anymore. He says, I have this mercy, and I will offer sacrifices and sing songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows. Check it out. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. That'd make a great song, wouldn't it? You know, we sing that kind of phrase all the time. My salvation comes from the Lord. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Of all the scenes in the Bible I'd love to have watched, this is one of them. I mean, and he winds up on the beach, and I heard a preacher say one time, he said, Jonah hit the sand running toward Nineveh. He had all he wanted of that. Just take in that for a moment. He hits the sand running, and some things change. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book, Jonah repents and goes to Nineveh. Some of you need to repent today and go back to where God has called you to go. Another message we could preach all day long. Not the message for today, but you could do that. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. I love it. A second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given you. I love this little phrase. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large it took 3 days to see it all. And on the day Jonah entered, and one translation, by the way, said it took 3 days to walk all the way through it. So you figured all that. It's a great study, this place, and I don't have time to get into all the details of it, but it's a big place for their day. On the day Jonah entered the city, on the day he entered the city, he didn't waste any time. He shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. I don't know how he did this. I'm sure there was more to the sermon than this. But you can imagine the old town crier, hear ye, hear ye. In 40 days, you people are going to be destroyed by Jehovah God. And then this is the whole crux of the story. Because the people of Nineveh said, get out of here, you idiot. They didn't say that at all. Nobody said, let's kill him. Much to Jonah's surprise, I'm sure. Scripture says the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Jonah goes to the city, he preaches, and they actually repent and turn from their wicked ways. How many of you guys, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but this is ground rhetorical. How many of us have seen this happen to people in our lives? Well, they were headed as hard as they could toward hell, and they said, nope, no more. I'm accepting Christ, and they turned their life and repented, and it made us so stinking happy. It made us thrilled for that to happen. The Lord forgave them. Scripture says in chapter 4, verse 10, when God saw that they had done what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind. God can do that, by the way, and there's another whole message. He changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he had threatened. So you would think redemption had come. The city throws a party, and everybody's excited. And they take Jonah, and they put him in the nicest hotel, and they set him up with the best food, and they give him maybe a house to live for a while. And Jonah's like, man, I'm so happy these people got it right. They gave themselves to God. I mean, I've been through the fish, and I've been through a storm in the sea, and I've been through all this stuff, and now God has done what I had hoped he would do. And that just didn't happen. At all. And this is a part of the story that I don't know how you teach children this. And I think that's where we just kind of hiccuped and said, okay, we're just going to talk about how Nineveh got saved and Jonah and the fish. We're going to focus on the fish. And we're going to focus on the miracle of that. And we just missed sometimes the point. You see, Jonah knew who he was, and Jonah knew who God was. Can I just stop right here for a moment, take a little curve and say that if you know who you are in Christ and you know who Jesus is, y'all, it changes everything about your life. We say it all the time up here in rehearsal. If we're doing this to put on a show for you guys, if we're doing this because we love doing this and we do love it, if we're doing this for any other reason than the fact that we know who we are and we know who Jesus is, then we're in the wrong business trying to lead worship. If you are here in church today just because you're trying to impress a friend or a family member or me or this church, if you're on a team, by the way, and you're serving in this church so that somebody will say, oh, that's a great job, you did a great job. If you're looking for that, Jesus said that's all the reward you get. The purpose and the reason and all these things has to be that we know who we are and we know who we are in Christ. Come on, dads, if you're just being a dad and you're just kind of showing up kind of from time to time and just kind of half being a dad, come on, sell out to Jesus. Know who you are and know who Jesus is in your life and be the best possible godly father you can be. Mom's the same way. Kids the same way. Come on, if you're working for somebody, go work like you would work for Jesus, man. It's just on and on. We could go with this idea. And here's what Jonah said about himself in Jonah 1:9. He said, they were looking to figure out what was wrong with the boat and why it was going through the storm. And Jonah said, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heavens, who made the land and the sea. I'm sold out to him, and that's why this boat's rocking, because I disobeyed him. And if you kick me out, you'll be all right. And they did. And we finished up to this point in the story. He's not running because he wanted to get away from the wrath of God. He's running because he didn't want Nineveh saved. And he knew who he was, and he knew who God was, and he was so angry at these people for something that happened a long time ago, holding a grudge. He goes into the city hoping that his prophecy would come true, and it just didn't. because of the mercy of God. And because he knew who he was, he wasn't running from anything except God. And you saw that in chapter 1. Can't get ahead of myself. In conclusion, I got a lot more to say, but I'm going to do one of those guys that I'm going to be finally and in conclusion like three times, okay? But no, seriously, this is what do we learn from this? And right now you're going to feel like a, and the records, you remember records, y'all remember those things with needles? Well, they're selling them again, so it's kind of coming back, like bell bottoms. And so the record would skip, and you'd go, oh, man, and you just, oh, man. And when you got a scratch in your record, you might as well toss it or whatever, because you got it's not, it's, and that's what, this is where the story kind of goes, and the sermon kind of goes that way. Because I want to ask you, what do we learn from this guy? Okay? Oh, wait a minute. Did I read all that? I didn't read all this, did I? Did I do point four? Man, see, I get so tore up about the ending, I can't even do the middle. I'm sorry. I'm so excited about what happens in the story. So real quick, let me back up, get that point. Point is, Jonah was angry with God. He was mad at God. Jonah had evaluated Nineveh and declared them guilty before he ever got there. And he wanted them dead. He wanted them destroyed. He wanted to back off outside the city and watch fire come down from heaven and destroy them like Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? He even reprimanded God for saving them. This is what he says to God. This, the scripture says in chapter 4, verse 1, this change of plans. You see, Jonah already had it in his mind. He had the plan worked out. This change in plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. By the way, this is another place you see it in the disciples all the time, God changing their plans in their life. How many times has something hit you in the face and it changed your plans in a moment, right in the middle of it, and you can't figure out why? If some of you in this room, along with me, are walking through that journey right now, here's the thing we have to understand is that God is who he is. And he's got us no matter what happens in our circumstances in this world. And so Jonah says, he became very angry. Verse 2, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That's why I wanted to run away from Tarshish. I knew that you were merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive. He's so mad at God for saving these people that he's wishing himself dead. And there's a... if you read the history of this, you understand. If you go all the way back to Deuteronomy 18, you find out when a prophet, when a prophet goes in and prophesies and that prophecy doesn't happen, he's considered a false prophet, and you didn't want that. And so part of the reason Jonah was worried about this is to save his own face. What would happen to him now? And he would lose this idea of greatly upset. It says he was greatly upset in this translation. The word says he looked at God and said, Lord, this is evil with great evil, what you've done to save these people. Have you ever looked at God and said, this is just wrong? This doesn't work in my plan. This doesn't work in how I had it all figured out in my mind. And that nearly always comes with some kind of tragedy. And so back to where we were, as I said, Jonah knew who he was, and he knew who God was, and he was so disappointed because he wanted God to destroy these people. So what do we learn? What do we learn? We learn this, and this is the skip moment. We learn that Jesus is our salvation. You say, how in the world do you get to Jesus from Jonah? Can I just say by Jesus' own words? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, the only sign, they were asking him for signs all the time, by the way. Lord, give us a sign and we'll believe in you. Give us a sign and we'll believe in you. Give us a sign. He said, the only sign that I will give them is the sign of Jonah. What is the sign of Jonah? For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation he's talking to. And he tells them why on Judgment Day and condemn it. So Nineveh, the Ninevites, these evil people who repented and came to God, will on Judgment Day have the right to stand up against the people that Jesus was talking to and bring condemnation on them. Why? For they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah, and Jesus brings it home. He says, now someone greater than you, greater than Jonah rather, is here, but you refuse to repent. You just refuse to. And I'm standing right here, he said. And I think I've felt Jesus' frustration before with certain people. We've been telling you this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we've been telling you this for whatever. Is there somebody in your family or a friend you know of that you've been telling for maybe years who Jesus is? And you just wish they would just come back and just come and be a part of the kingdom of God. You get so frustrated. Jesus must have felt this. And he's comparing himself to Jonah in the sense that he was in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And in that time, Jonah thought he was dying and cried out to the Lord. Jesus did die and did cry out to the Lord so that you and I wouldn't have to. That's the redemption part of this story. And Jonah couldn't have known this years before that, but Jesus pointed back to this story and said that very thing. And so should we. Scripture says, everybody say everyone. Say it better, everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So last point of the day is this, is that God loves all people, and we should too. I don't usually ask for amens much, but can we not, I'm going to read this again. Can we not get a better amen out of that? You see, because God loves all people, and we should too. Come on. That is true. Somebody at some point loved you enough to tell you about Jesus in spite of who you were being in the moment. Do you have a lost list on your prayer list? Do you have a person or people on your prayer list that are just lost? They have no idea what's going on in their life right now, and you're praying for them every day? Man, I'm going to tell you, pray for them and keep praying for them, because all people can come to Christ. I love this. We're going to end with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and some passages here. Christ's love controls us. Some translations say compels us. We don't generally like to be controlled by anything. That's why I like to drive rather than anybody else in the car. I want to be in control. Amen. I got amen on that, didn't I? Notice it was all men that said that. That's funny. Y'all going to pay for that, amen, I'll just tell you. Chris Caleb was bold because his wife's not here today. So anyway, but we want to be in control. Most of us want to be in control of our situation and everything. This says Christ's love controls us, but the word really means it propels us along. It's the love of Christ that makes me love you and you and you and you and you and all you so much in spite of who you are and who I am. It's why I can look at a human being and say, I'm getting ahead of myself. I can say, I love you, and I don't even know them. Because I don't see them that way. Since we believe that Christ died for how many? All. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. Those of us who are in Christ, our old life's gone. I love when I bury someone in baptism. I said, you know, we're about to bury the old person and bring up the new person. That's what that picture is all about. And all that old stuff's gone. He died for how many? Everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Man, our culture needs to hear that. It's not about me. It's not about you. We don't live for ourselves anymore. This is the crux of how to have a strong marriage. If you go into your marriage thinking it's all about me, you are in trouble before you start. Where you live for someone else. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So, and I love this phrase, and this is kind of what I want to aim on this right here. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. How many people that you've ever met are humans? I love some of those looks like, what did he just say? How many people have you met are humans? All of them. all of them. And as messed up as I am, you can't evaluate me completely from a human point of view. Because if you do, those closest to me know the blemishes, and they know, and they see. If you are evaluated, can I just ask you for a moment to think very seriously about someone in your life that really is not being who, really not being who God would want them to be, and you're frustrated with them, and maybe you're angry at them, maybe you're worried about them, all those things. But when you evaluate them, do you see them from a human point of view? I hope not. Because you will always default to condemnation and anger and frustration and hate if you do that. Because that's what we humans like to do. And it's easy to default there, isn't it? It's like you get in your car and today I will not have road rage. Today I will not have road rage. Today I will not have road rage. And the first person that cuts you off. Today I will not say this to my wife again. Today I will not say this to my husband again. Today is the day that I'm going to stop doing whatever it is. And then you find yourself struggling in the moment. And it's almost like when you tell that out loud, when you say that out loud, the enemy throws something in your way to try to trip you up in the moment. And you find yourself going, why? How did I end up right back here again? I think we think about people a lot of times like Jonah did. Ain't my responsibility. I hope that I don't want to pray for that person. I don't want to talk to that person. Person hurt me. They continue to hurt me, and I don't want to pray for them. The person's not like me. They don't dress like me, act like me, talk like me. I don't like them. I don't like their sin they're committing. I don't like the circumstances they're in. I don't like the fact that they are in absolute rebellion to God, and therefore, to hell with them. And we don't say it out loud like that. We just don't pray for them. We don't do anything to rescue. It's like watching a child drown in a lake, and you can go get them, and you just go, well, good luck with that. Y'all, we are called to something bigger than who we are. And it's the last point of the day, and that is we are called into a ministry of reconciliation. And it's just not me. It's not the pastor. It's not the divisional leaders. It's not the team leaders. It's not the dream team. It's not just us. We are all called. All call. When you give your life to Jesus, you immediately are thrust into the ministry of reconciliation. You don't get to, with some training, you can work on it. We want to disciple you. We want to help you and help you find those ways to do that in your own way. We call it impact, and you can walk those steps starting in January, first Sunday. And we want you to do that to be able to help you find what you can do to help us grow the kingdom. And really, we're all called into this. We are a part of God's plan of redemption for the world. In fact, we are the plan of redemption in the world to get Jesus into the lives of others. There is no plan B. We say it all the time here. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God said, I knew you couldn't do it on your own. I got to send Jesus. No longer counting people's sins against them. Man, I used to be scared of this verse because I was taught that every time you sinned, you were out of God. And you had to say, forgive me, God, to get back in. This verse, this is a dangerous verse for some people, but I want you to know it says that God doesn't count your sins against you. He didn't. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. What's the message of reconciliation? That Jesus died for you. And he goes on to say it. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. And we speak for Christ when we plead. Plead. Come back to God. I mean, could it be that some people don't come back to God because the way I'm living my life just isn't lining up with what God's doing, and they see that and they go, look, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with it. There's lots of reasons, but we plead. Paul said we persuade men. He's one of the guys that wrote the New Testament. We persuade people. Everything we do in this room on Sunday morning is to help persuade you that God is amazing and to give you an opportunity to accept that and to grow in it. Most of you in this room are already believers. You're already in Christ. You've already submitted to water baptism. If you've not done one of those three things, that's your next step. I want you to understand that we try to do everything we can in this whole place to create an atmosphere where we're out of the way and God gets to be who He is. But we do everything on purpose for that reason, ultimately. We say we exist for the empty seat. It's really to fill that seat up with a heart that needs Jesus, and that's what reconciliation is all about. What God was trying to show Jonah, I believe, was that all people are important to Him. Even the people that you've already judged guilty. Man, there's so much of the story I left out. I'd love to go back and talk about the root and the tree and all those things. Jonah just goes up on the side of a mountain and just, I'm waiting. I'm waiting on the fire to fall. He's just so mad. And the story leaves it like that. It doesn't say, and Jonah repented and came back to God and loved the Lord and was excited about Nineveh. None of that was said. I hope that after the incident with the tree and all that, that Jonah went back down into the city and said, hey, guys, I was wrong about y'all. I want you to think about anyone around you who needs Jesus. Prayer team, please take your place if you would. For you guys who are guests, these people that are standing around the room in a moment right now are gathering out there to be there for you. If you're new here, we want you to understand that they're there for you. They want to pray with you. This is our prayer team, a part of them, and they want you to feel free to come and to let them pray over you. They've already prayed for you, and they want you to come. Maybe there's something in your life you need to get off your chest. Maybe there's something you need to say. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive, someone you need to let go of a grudge, somebody you've been hating on for a long time. And you've written about it on Facebook, and you put it out there and felt free to do that, and you've caused a stink, and you need to stop it. These people are here to pray with. I guarantee you, every one of them would agree with this. They're all misfits just trying to find Jesus, and they've done some of those things, and they just want to help you. Please, don't miss this opportunity. Think of the people you're around every day. Think of the people you encounter every day. Think of someone who needs understanding, love, compassion, care, blessing. And then think of yourself as a conduit think of yourself as the person who God has called. I want you to go, not to Nineveh, but to that person. And I want you to speak life into them. And the only thing I want you to do different from what happened to Jonah is I want you to be expectant of a change in their heart. Don't lose hope on that family member. I don't care what they're doing. Don't start categorizing the sin on me. I don't care how bad or good you think the sin is. Plead. Love. Persuade. Show them. You may think they're far too far gone to come back. Somebody prayed for me a long time. It took me a while. I finally figured it out. Would you stand with me, please? The song is I Surrender. It's what we ended with earlier, and it's what we're going to end with today. Would you just go ahead? We're going to dim the lights, and we don't want you to worry about somebody looking at you or thinking anything about you or whatever. Listen, if this is a place that you don't feel comfortable giving your life over to Jesus, then where in the world are you going to feel comfortable to do it? I'm saying, man, how many of us are for the people who need Jesus right now? Come on, lift your hands up. Are you for him? We are here for you. Some of you don't have your hands up. Are you sure you're not? I know you're not hand raisers, but you can raise your hand and say, I'm for everybody that needs Jesus. Come on, put your hands up in the air. We love you. We honest to goodness believe that God has something for you. We want you to feel free to step out. Go ask for prayer. If you need water baptism, talk to me afterwards about that. We'll take care of that. January 26th, we're going to have our very first ever baptism Sunday. I'm excited about it. You've never been baptized? It's going to be a great day. But you don't need to, if you need to be baptized into Christ, you don't need to wait till then. We're going to do that special day, but we want you to come now. Now, today. Maybe you just need to accept Christ. You need to say, I never believed, but today, after hearing this story, hearing this preaching, hearing these songs, being with people who love the Lord, I feel connected and I want to give my life to Jesus. You can do that today. In fact, if you want to do that, we'll ask you to raise your hand right now. I'll be glad to pray over you right now. Anybody want to pray? Got one right here. Anybody else? Two, three, four. Awesome. Awesome. Father God, I want to pray over these who've lifted their hand today to say, I want to make sure that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I want to pray over them, Father, for whatever circumstances are going on in their life. I thank you for their willingness to step up and say, hey, I got some things I need to pray about. I got some things in my life that I need to talk to Jesus about. And Lord, you know their heart more than anybody. You know their heart more than they know their heart. You know the true self. So thank you for that. And I pray over them, Father, for forgiveness, for acceptance, for whatever it is they need, Father, in you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. If anybody else needs to step out in this moment right now and just walk to a prayer warrior, we'd love for you to do that. Father, I just want to pray generally over this church family and over these people that you bless, you heal, you give comfort, and you give peace as we surrender to you, Lord. We give it all up to you in Jesus' name.
In your heart like a mighty storm. Let him come.
Like a mighty storm.
Open your heart.
Stir within my soul. Lord, every way. Lord, every way in me.
That's a prayer that we pray. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. When you invite Jesus to come in and have his way with your heart, it changes everything. And I just pray today that you've been able to do that. If you're still like, I'm nervous about this, I don't know what, if you have questions, please come talk to me afterwards. I'll be around for a little bit and just come talk to any of these guys that are around the room. You don't have to come talk to me. Just literally ask somebody next to you, hey, what do I need to do? I need to know what to do to help my life. If you're at home, go to our website, discoveryal.church, click the connect tab and connect with us. Those come to me and we will connect.
We'll answer questions. We'll talk to you. We'll love you. In Jesus' name, we'll do that. It's been an amazing day here of worship today. People are still praying. We'll give them time to pray. Praise God for that. It's not too late for you to do that. It's not. Even when we dismiss, it's not too late to do that. Don't leave here having questions. Leave here with confidence and knowing who Jesus is in your life. Prayer team all around, well, let's just raise our hands and just pray one more time. I feel a sense to do this right now, just over this whole church. Anybody that wants to, just lift your hands and pray for the people around you. Come on, y'all. Father, we're gonna just lean in and press in one more time, Lord. We just, not to get numbers, God. This isn't about to get people out of a seat to do something. Lord, I just want to press in your spirit right now, Father, to sense and to touch lives in ways that there's no way we can. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, can convict and talk to people from the heart level, Lord, and show them who Jesus is in their life. And Lord, I just want to lean into that right now. Prayer team, lean in. Lean in. People that are hands up praying, lean in the people around you. I just always have this sense of missed opportunity. And God, today I'm asking you to just really press in and take the fear away. And allow people for the first time maybe in their whole life to surrender. I have to surrender every day. My will for your will. And I know that your will is good and pleasing and wonderful for me. So we lean in and trust that. Cannot tell you guys how much I love you, man. I cannot describe to you the love I feel in my heart for you. I pray for you every day. If you're a guest and you fill out a connection card, you'll go on my prayer list today and I'll put it on there. I'll be praying for you every day. But we honestly love you and care for you. Thank you for coming today and being a part of our service. Man, it's always good to be here. I don't ever want to leave. It's just always good. Y'all be praying for the people who are sick. We got several people that are out today sick and that kind of thing. Let's pray over the sick. Pray over me. Pray over each other, the things that are going on in your life. I know you are. Let's continue to lean in. If you're a guest, hang out with us. Let us get to know you a little better, okay? God bless you. Have a great Sunday. You're dismissed.